Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, The Killing of the Demon Putana, and we're reading the summary. A summary of the sixth chapter is as follows. Ananda Maharaj, following the instructions of Vasudeva, was returning home. He saw a great demoniac woman lying on the road. Then he heard about her death. While Ananda Maharaj, the king of Raja, was thinking about Vasudeva's words concerning disturbances in Gokula, he was a little afraid and sought shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Meanwhile, Kamsa sent to the village of Gokula a Rakshasi named Putana, who was wandering here and there, killing small babies. Of course, wherever there is no Krishna consciousness, there is the danger of such Rakshasis. But since the Supreme Personality of God himself was in Gokula, Putana could accept nothing there but her own death. One day, Putana arrived from the outer space in Gokula, the home of Nanda Maharaj, and by displaying her mystic power, she assumed the disguise of a very beautiful woman. Taking courage, she immediately entered Krishna's bedroom without anyone's permission. By the grace of Krishna, no one forbade her to enter the house or the room, because that was Krishna's desire. The baby Krishna, resembled a fire covered by ashes, looked upon Putana and thought that he'd have to kill this demon, the beautiful woman. Enchanted by the influence of Yogamaya and the personality of Godhead, Putana took Krishna upon her lap, and neither Rohini nor Jasoda objected. The demon Putana offered her breast for Krishna to suck. But her breast was smeared with poison. The child Krishna therefore squeezed Putana's breast so severely that in unbearable pain she had to assume her original body and fell to the ground. Krishna began playing on her breast just like a small child. When Krishna was playing, the gopis were pacified and took the child away to their own laps. After this incident, the gopis took precautions because of the attack of the Rakshasi. Mother Jasoda gave the child her breast to suck and then laid him in bed. Meanwhile, Nanda and his associates, the coward men, returned from Mathura, and when they saw the great dead body of Putana, they were struck with wonder. Everyone was astonished at Vasudeva had foretold this mishap. And they praised Vasudeva for his power of foresight. The inhabitants of Braja cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces. But because Krishna had sucked her breast, she had been freed from all sins, and therefore, when the coward men burnt the pieces of her body in a fire, the smoke filled the air with a very pleasing fragrance. Ultimately, although Putana had desired to kill Krishna, she attained the Lord's abode. From this incident, we gain the instruction that if one is attached to Krishna somehow or another, even as an enemy, one ultimately attains success. What then is to be said of the devotees who are naturally attached to Krishna in love? When the inhabitants of Braja heard about the killing of Putana and the welfare of the child, they were very much satisfied. Nanda Maharaj took the baby Krishna on his lap and was filled with satisfaction. Text 1. Sri Shukuvacha Nanda Pati Vacha Sori Rayer Namri Sheti Vichintayan Harim Jigama Sharanam Utpatangama Shankitaha Sharanam Upagatam Shankitaha. Sri Shugavacha Nandapati Vachasharera Namushiti Vichintayan Harim Jagama Sharanam Upagatama Shankitaha. Sri Shugavacha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Nandaha, Nanda Maharaj, Pati, on his way back home, Vachaha, the words, Share, Avasudeva, Na, not, Marisha, without purpose or cause, Iti, thus, Vichintayan, while thinking about inauspiciousness for his little son, Krishna. Harim, under the Supreme Lord, the controller, Jagama, took Sharanam, shelter, Utpata, of disturbances, Agama, with expectation, Shankitaha, thus being afraid. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Gaiva Goswami continued, my dear King, while Nanda Maharaj was on the way home, he considered that what Vasudeva had said could not be false or useless. There must have been some danger of disturbances in Gokula. As Nanda Maharaj thought about the danger for his beautiful son, Krishna, he was afraid, and he took shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller. Purport, whenever there is danger, the pure devotee thinks of the protection and shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also advised in Bhagavad Gita, 9:33. Anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhaja svamam. In this material world, there is a danger at every step, padam padam yadvipadam. Therefore, a devotee has no other course than to take shelter of the Lord at every step. Here it mentions that Vasudeva is taking shelter of the Supreme Controller. But that Supreme Controller he's taking shelter of is not Krishna. It's Narayan. Because in Vrindavan, even though there may be some idea that Krishna is very powerful, but no one takes it seriously that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although in Vrindavan, whether Gokula Vrindavan or even Goloka Vrindavan, the devotees there, they worship different demigods. And Nanda Maharaj specifically worships Narayan. So when Krishna is in danger, then Nanda Maharaj takes shelter of Narayan, Lord Narayan, in order to protect Krishna. But he doesn't take shelter of Krishna in order to protect himself, because that conception is not there. And often we find, in reality, that when Krishna is in danger, the devotees are willing to sacrifice even their own well-being for Krishna's comfort. For instance, when Krishna, even on this planet, because Krishna has his pastimes here also, in Gokul Vrindavan, when Krishna was in the clutches of the Kaliya demon for a couple of hours, then everyone was completely focused. When Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj got there, Mother Yashoda saw the face of Krishna, and she was so focused on it that she fainted. And the coward boys remembered their wonderful dealings they had with Krishna, his beautiful face, and his loving exchanges with him, as well as their pastimes. And therefore, although apparently Krishna was in danger, it produced more ecstasy in the sense that the devotees became more concentrated in love upon Krishna. If you have something, generally you take it for granted after some time. But if your object that you're in love with or that you appreciate, you're threatened with disappearance, then you become more attached to it. So eternally in Krishna's pastimes, there's always some reason, for one reason or another, to become more attached to Krishna. Because even in the spiritual world, things could actually get boring. You could get boring of being in ecstasy all the time. But there's always causes for increasing that ecstasy by, for instance, either Krishna does something which makes the devotee angry. In the case of Srimati Radharani, sometimes Krishna has a meeting with Srimati Radharani and he doesn't show up, or he shows up late, or he says, "I'm sorry, I was late, I'll come tomorrow," and then he doesn't even show up the next day. So he gives Srimati Radharani reason to be completely angry at him. So when Krishna comes and Srimati Radharani is completely angry, she rejects him, tells him to get out of the grove, tries to drive him away. And Krishna has to leave. And then he's miserable and Srimati Radharani is miserable, and then the Manjaris or the gopis have to make arrangements so they meet again. So that way it's all, they don't take each other for granted so easily. Indeed, practically speaking, the rest of the spiritual world is there in order to help Krishna and his relation with Srimati Radharani grow. But no one resents that, because Krishna is a source of unlimited, ever-growing pleasure of love, and so is Srimati Radharani. So the whole spiritual world depends upon the ever increasing love between Srimati Radharani and Krishna for their very existence. Matter of fact, even this world depends upon it. Everything depends upon it. So those relationships, those arrangements are constantly being made. Either Krishna is in the clutches of the Kali serpent and he seems about, he's going to be vanquished, this is the end of Krishna, and therefore everyone is, all the residents of Vrindavan are completely overwhelmed with ever-increasing love for Krishna and anxiety over him. Or Krishna does something and gets the devotee angry, and the devotee drives Krishna away, and the Krishna is disturbed, and the devotee is disturbed, and then they meet again. So that's the nature. For instance, all these pastimes are all meant for increasing love for Krishna and Krishna's love for the devotees. When Krishna was hungry and he came to Mother Jasoda after waking up in order to have Mother Jasoda breastfeed him, while she was churning yogurt, Mother Jasoda has very special cows that she feeds very special grass to make very special, give very special milk so that she can turn into special yogurt. Because she's always thinking that Krishna is going around with his coward boyfriends and stealing yogurt all the time. So it's very embarrassing that we have so much yogurt in our house and milk, but he seems to not appreciate it enough. He seems to have to go out to other people's house and steal the yogurt. So let me make some very special yogurt for him so that he won't have to go out and steal anyone else's yogurt. Of course, everyone, without Krishna, Krishna has a relationship with the other residents of Vrindavan, specifically by stealing their yogurt. So they're always waiting for Krishna to steal their yogurt. They actually want Krishna to steal the yogurt, because that's part of their relationship with him. They want to give everything to Krishna, including their yogurt. So because they can't just bring it to him, they let him come and steal it. In any case, so she was turning this very special yogurt, and Krishna came to breastfeed from her. And then the milk, of course, in the pastime, started to boil over the pot. And therefore Mother Jasoda had to go and turn the fire off so that they didn't waste the special milk that she was preparing. And then Krishna became angry, and as we know, he broke the pots of yogurt that were hanging and started to eat the yogurt out of anger that Mother Jasoda had left him. And then he was so mischievous that he started to feed all the yogurt to the monkeys. And Mother Jasoda came back, followed the trail of Krishna's footprints, which were in the yogurt. She could follow it very easily. Because the yogurt was, Krishna had taken the pot and ran away with it. But it was dripping because he had broken it. And therefore his footprints were in the yogurt. And she followed after him. And finally she caught him after a long chase. And as we know, she tried to tie him up. And finally she did tie him up to a wooden grinding mortar, which is part of the pastime, because there was foretold that in the future by Narada Muni that Krishna would tear down the two Arjuna trees that were actually Nalakuvara and Manigriva, that Narada Muni had cursed to become trees that were standing in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard for many thousands of years. So of course we know Krishna dragged the mortar between the two trees and they fell down. And now came Nalakuvara and Manigriva. And then all the coward men, the coward women heard the sound of the trees crashing and they ran to find out what happened. And Krishna was in the branches of the trees, fooling around with his coward boys. But when Mother Jasoda came, due to her anxiety, he couldn't hide himself anymore. So he showed himself. But immediately he jumped onto the lap of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj said, "Who did this to you? Who tied you up to this tree?" And then Krishna said, "Mom did it." So mom was almost killed you. So Mother Jasoda became so embarrassed, so disturbed, that she ran back to her house, locked herself in a room, and fasted for days. And similarly, all her maidservants also fasted along with her in complete anxiety. And Nanda Maharaj was quite happy because finally he got to enjoy Krishna by himself. Because Krishna always favored Mother Jasoda all the time. So now he actually was Krishna's favorite for a little while. And so Nanda Maharaj told Krishna one day, because he realized that this is artificial, Krishna's suffering due to separation from Mother Jasoda's suffering. So he told Krishna one day, he said, "Whoever put you into this distressful situation, I as a king of Braj, I'm going to raise my hand." And then Krishna, thinking that Nanda Maharaj was going to do something to Mother Jasoda, became very disturbed and jumped out of Nanda Maharaj's lap, his arms, and ran to Mother Jasoda to embrace her. So these are pastimes. Now it could be, you know, eternally Krishna's having a good time just drinking milk and eating yogurt, whatever he's doing. It'd be pretty boring after some time. So there has to be some kind of excitement, some kind of display of what's going to happen, something that will cause one to think what's going to happen, that this is very suspenseful, that there seems to be some kind of contrary activity going on, even in Vrindavan, something which is seemingly inauspicious. But it's all auspicious because it increases Krishna's love. Without the demons coming, at least in Gokula, then everything would be too boring, actually, after some time. And even in the spiritual world, although there are no demons, still there are rumors of demons, and they serve the same purpose, to attach one to the devotees to Krishna. And although Srimati Radharani has no real rival, because she is the manifestation of Krishna's pleasure potency, fully, still there has to be other gopis, including her sister, Chandravali. There has to be some kind of competition, otherwise things wouldn't become so fresh all the time. And Krishna and Srimati Radharani seems have to have some disagreements. And as a matter of fact, generally speaking, there is Vipralamba, Seva, and then there is actually physical association. Vipralamba, what's the other one called? What's that? Samboga. So actually some Vipralamba is the majority of the time. And Samboga is just some of the time. So separation makes the heart grow fonder. So if there's always Samboga, they get too familiar with each other, even in the spiritual world. Of course, that will never happen. Everything is arranged so that the pastimes are ever fresh. So there's no question if. But still, that we can see here in the material world, especially in modern society, when men and women get married and there's no joint family. The grandmother's not there, the grandfather's not there, the nephews aren't there, the uncle's not there. It's just man and woman facing each other. Generally, it's a great formula for disaster in the relationship. Because they become so familiar with each other that they become practically sometimes antagonistic towards each other. So therefore, what began in courting, according to English, usually winds up in court. Therefore, we should see these pastimes like that. They're not ordinary pastimes. As it says here in the purport, that Krishna, he wanted Putana to come into the house. He wanted Mother Jasoda and Rohini to allow this girl, this woman, to pick him up and breastfeed him. Without Krishna's will, nothing can happen. So, whether Krishna's will or Yogamaya potency, everything is arranged in such a way as to make everything more blissful and more to increase the rasa. And that's how we should look at these pastimes. Not some demons and Krishna coming to kill Krishna and just so happens Krishna happens to be God, so he always kills the demons. No, there's not. The actual activities are secondary to the increasing of the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. And even here, because everything is eternally auspicious, and anything that comes in contact with Krishna becomes auspicious also. So here we find that Putana, although she was a demon, and she killed many, many residents of Vrindavan, especially the babies, by sucking their blood, still she wound up as one of Krishna's mothers in Goloka Vrindavan. So nothing here is, not ordinary demons come to try to kill Krishna. Everything is ultimately very auspicious. But still the excitement has to be there. Because we're not under Yogamaya. If we think, yeah, of course he's going to kill her. It always happens like that. There's no suspense. But in Vrindavan, they don't think Krishna is God. And therefore that suspense is ever more intense and more ecstatic. And more producing love. So we should try to read it like that, a little bit more innocent, that we have read this so many times, we know that Krishna is always going to win. No problem. We try to experience what the residents of Vrindavan are experiencing. And that will increase our attachment for Krishna too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Can you say it a little louder? They know.
Do the demons know about Krishna? I think so, but they don't worship him.
How do you know they know about Krishna?
I don't know.
We have to go into Shastra. But it's like we know Krishna, even if they did know, but it's like probably the same way we know Krishna is God. We know Krishna is God, but we don't take it so seriously. Sometimes they know, not always. Trinavartha didn't know Krishna was God. But Mushtika and Chanura had some idea that Krishna was super powerful. So did Putana. She had some idea. But they didn't take it seriously. They still thought they could kill him. They didn't really know his extent of power. They knew he was powerful, but they didn't know how powerful he actually was. Besides that, being under the spell of Yogamaya, or Mahamaya, they didn't take it seriously. Just like we know here's Panchatattva. Theoretically, we know that they're here, Krishna's, but we don't take it that seriously because we're under the spell of one of Krishna's energies. Anything else? Yes.
Sometimes it seems like Krishna makes it very complicated to service in the. Like in the temple, for example, for Harinams, he always sends somehow enough people at the last moment or something like that. So this is something similar.
Well, it's probably due to our poor organization. We organize things a little bit better. We wouldn't have to go through all this trouble. He has to make up. He has to do some special savor for us. Well, it's to probably try to encourage us to wake up and become a little better organized. Anything else? Kuala, Grandra Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.